Welcome to All Caribbean Entrepreneurs. If you've been ready and waiting to take your business digital and get paid online while you sip something strong on the beach, this podcast is for you. We'll hear from the Caribbean's finest entrepreneurs on topics like e-commerce, business development, brand building, social media, their wins and failures. This is the only place in the region helping you navigate the digital age from the Caribbean's perspective. This is Digipreneur FM. And now, let's give it up for the Digiboss himself, Mr. Caron Rose.
Thank you to everybody tuning in to another episode of the Digipreneur FM podcast. And you know who it is, as usual. We are back again with another lovely episode. But first, before we get into anything, DJ, DJ, you gotta fade us all the way out because we gotta talk to the people. January 24th, 2023. You know what is absolutely amazing? Come July, the podcast would be 2 years old. We are going on 2 years of the podcast. Listen to me. How amazing is that? How amazing is that? We'd be going on 2 years of the podcast, you know? And as always, the journey has been amazing. It has been fun. I think a question that I've been getting a lot lately is, you know, what is my favorite form of content to create? Since I am somebody who creates content for pretty much every single platform, all right? So I create for radio, I create for the newspapers, I create blogs, I create podcasts. You never know, you might see me on TV very, very soon. Who knows, right? But honestly, in with everything that I do, podcasting has really been my favorite thing since blogging. I think it's finally surpassed blogging. Blogging has always been fun because I get to write, I get to listen to music, I get to do my own thing. There's no pressure, you know, there's just no pressure, you know. And with podcasting is kind of the same thing where I usually come in early morning before anybody's awake, turn the mic on, turn the setup on, and we go through that topic. And it's just a great way for me. It's a great outlet for me. I feel like there's a lot of energy that I can put in that. You know, I can do consistently and just have a lot of fun with it. And there's no pressure of being on video. For me, when I'm on video, there's always a pressure to... There's a different kind of energy required because people are seeing you, right? Versus, you know, when I'm podcasting, I could be in my sweats, some shorts, hoodied up, headphones on, you know, just doing my thing and just having my fun in my own little space, you know. So podcasting has definitely really, really been my favorite outlet for creating content. And it's been really fun to be doing this for going on 2 years. And the time just flies. I know you guys have heard me say this a million times in previous episodes, but the time is just flying. But nonetheless, this is episode number 118. Episode number 118. It's funny for me to even say that because, like, when I'm listening to podcasts myself and guys who I've been, you know, listening to for years, when I'm hearing them guys on, you know, episode 300, episode 1,000, and I'm like, golly, you know? And they pump out podcasts. Like, some of them pump out podcasts just one a week. And, you know, being on episode, you know, 300, 500, you know, they've been doing it for some years. And then there's guys that, you know, it's a show. So they pump out, you know, 2 to 3 episodes a week. and have hit, you know, episode 1,000, and they've just been going on, and they've been doing it for years and whatnot. And it's really amazing to me. The consistency is really amazing, and the ability to continuously bring, you know, high quality content, long form content, right? Because it's one thing to do 100, you know, short videos, 10 seconds, 30 seconds, 60 seconds. It's one thing to do that. But it's another thing when you are producing like hour long shows and doing it consistently, you know, 1 to 3 times a week for years. You know, it's a lot. It's definitely a lot. Ah, boy. But anyways, let's get on to today's show. Today's show is how to sell merch via print on demand. Selling merch via print on demand. Now, if you follow me over on social media, you would know why this episode came up, right? And I'm going to give you the story just to give you some context, right? Earlier this week, I'm browsing on Facebook, and I see a post come up from the lovely Nadia Batson. Now, if you are outside of the Caribbean, Nadia Batson is one of our top soca artists. She's one of our top soca artists, right? And while I'm on Facebook, this post comes up, and it was, yo, Nadia's dropping her new merch. Now, the thing is that the merch, when I seen it, it caught my attention. I'm like, yo, the shout out to the designer. This is fire, right? She has like how many designs? She has 7 designs. And whoever did the designs for her merch, yo, pat on the back. Design number 5 is fire. Design number 5 was my favorite. Number 2 is vibes. But once I seen number 5, I was like, yo, it's like a graffiti. Oh, and number 7. I love that graffiti look that they've done for her. It's fire, right? Legit, I'd wear this. Like, I would legit wear this. And I'm not somebody who is just going to go and wear tees with somebody else's face on it just so. Right? But it's fire. Number 5, number 7, those are my 2 favorites. I would rock it, right? Especially number 7. Number 7, they did like a, it's like graffiti, and they have her face with like an afro, but the afro is made up of like words, and it's spray painted with, and it's graffiti, but it's in the form of an afro. And it's just fire. So it caught my attention, right? I was like, "Yo, I'm going to buy one of these, right? They're fire, right? I'd have one. They're fire." And then when I started to read the actual post itself, read, pre-order the new merch, right? Available in Trinidad and Tobago only. Pre-orders available now until February 2nd. So I was like, okay. Then they're like, orders outside of TNT are going to be available from Wednesday the 15th, Wednesday, February 15th. I'm like, all right. See the price. Price is $240, 240 TT, 35 US. Available sizes, extra small to 3XL, t-shirt colors, black, white, red, blue, pink, orange. Pre-orders and information at shop@nadiabatson.com. Please read last slide for additional information. So I'm like, all right. So when I go and I go to the last slide, the last slide is information on how to order the shirt. And this is where the trouble started for me. All right. Again, love Nadia. This is no shade or hate to Nadia. All right. I'm a fan. I wanted to buy a shirt. But remember, I'm also a digital strategist, a marketing and e-commerce strategist, right? So so naturally, when I see something that, you know, is within my space that's off, yeah, you already know what we're going to talk about, it because everything is a teachable moment for people who are looking to do this and looking to do this at a nice high level with, you know, minimal pain points and have a nice smooth process and wonderful customer experience. Because at the end of the day, it's all about customer experience, right? And it's not just reserved for the big boys. It's for everybody. So here's the thing. So go to the last slide. Nadia Batson merchandise. Here's how to order. This is what threw me all the way off. First, to order, you have to email the following info to shop@nadiabatson.com. You have to email your full name, your phone number, the design number, the t-shirt color, the size, and then whether you are male or female. It then says, after submitting the pre-order information, the payment and collection info will be sent to you via email. Collection of the pre-order t-shirts will be available for collection on Thursday, February 9th at the merch booth during the concert at Five Island Shagaramas. Can I collect my order before the concert? Yes, you can. Pre-orders can be collected on the Wednesday. All right. Additional info. There will be additional merch available at the booth. However, pre-ordering is highly recommended to secure your specific size and design. All right. So in reading all of this, that turned me off. It turned me all the way off because I'm like, yo, as much as I want this shirt, I'm not about to go through all of this hassle for a shirt. So I had a couple of friends, you know, they seen it and they wanted to see how this was going to happen in terms of, you know, okay, if we order this, like, is this going to be a situation where you're waiting days for a response? Because what they have done is this is an entirely manual process. It's an entirely manual process, right? When you are emailing someone, somebody has to manually respond. This is Nadia Batson we're talking about. Nadia Batson has close to, I'm just pulling it up. Nadia Batson has almost 270,000 followers, right? So because this is a manual process, how many orders are you catering for? Is somebody going to manually respond to every single order email? And then go the back and forth, because remember, after you send them the information, they have to send you the payment information. Then after you send the payment information, they have to confirm that the payment was received and then send you the collection info. All of that is manual. So I had a couple of friends that emailed, and in talking to them, the response time for the emails was between 8 and 12 hours, right? 8 to 12 hours was the average response time for the team to email back with the pre-order information. So you have to keep in mind that for the most part, when people are buying things that are not a necessity, it's typically impulse buying that catches us. We see something nice and shiny and we click order to buy. Or you're walking in a mall, you see something catches your eye, you're right there, you pick it up, you go swipe your card and bam, impulse buying, right? That's like the number one form of sales for non-necessities. It's impulse buying. So when you start to put all of this friction in the process, you lose out on the number one way that people buy non-necessities, which is the impulse buy. So you email, you wait your 8 to 12 hours for a response, and by that time, you might have broken your leg or something might have come up. You might have, you know, you might have got a phone call saying, hey, you got to pay this, or you something costs you money, and that money that you reserve for buying the shirt, you got to go spend elsewhere. It happens a lot. It happens. So what should be happening, right? And I did a video on this on social media just to show what should have been happening. Now, the manager responded, and he basically, like, he responded to the post, and he was basically saying that, you know, we did this for a reason. It's an internal decision. We are linking the merch to the event, which is all fine and good. I have no issues with that, right? The problem that the manager missed completely from my post was, I'm just showing you a workflow of how not to do this because you're missing sales, all right? So what should be happening is, rather than emailing, this should have been on a website. Even if it was a pop-up one pager, just to collect the orders, right? Because once you have your sales running through the website, you are able to take payments via credit card, right? You could use WePay, you could use First Atlantic Commerce, you could use any of the Caribbean payment gateways. You could even use PayPal, right? And you could use all of them, right? So on my website, I have WePay and I have PayPal and I also have bank transfer. So you could have all three of those payment options. Credit card, people could use their Visa debit cards that they have right here because they're targeting Trinidad and Tobago only for this, right? So people could use their Visa debit cards from any of the banks and pay if they were to set up WePay or if they set up First Atlantic Commerce on the website. They could use their Visa debit cards to pay, which would have been easy for everybody because the majority of the people in Trinidad have a bank card, right? That they could use to make the payments online. So people would have been able to pay online. Let's just say if they have their, you know, they want to pay credit card, great. If they want to use their PayPal account, great. But then for the people that do not want to use their bank cards and they wanted to make a bank payment, then they could select the bank transfer option because you could set that up on your website and then people can either do an online bank transfer and then email the receipt of the or email the payment confirmation. So for me, how my workflow is, once you select bank transfer, the information for the bank account shows up and then you also get a subsequent email saying, hey, we received your order. Here is the banking information. Please reply to this email with the payment confirmation. So there's all a track record of everything, right? So once the person either makes the payment online or whether they even go into the bank and make the payment and they could take a picture of the payment confirmation, they would just reply to the email with the image and then we would see it and then we would approve the sale in the back end. That would allow you now to keep a digital record of everybody who made a payment for the order. But then also, if you are looking to collect emails, because I think that was one of the key things as to why they did it like this, you would also be able to collect emails as well, right? Because you can have your CRM connected and there are free CRMs that would allow you to collect data like HubSpot. So you can collect all of the emails. If you were using MailChimp or MailerLite or any of the email marketing software, again, you can collect all of the emails into a database because as of right now, because you're doing email, then you would have to manually input the information into a CRM if you're using a CRM. And I mean, because this process is so manual, I highly doubt they're using a CRM. They might be just copying and pasting and putting this information into a spreadsheet, into a Microsoft Excel sheet. But we already know that the more manual the process is at volume, there is more room for error, right? And I wouldn't be surprised if people come and they say, hi, I placed an order. My name is not on the, and they're going to the list and they're not seeing their name. Or whatever. It happens. Once the process is too manual, it leaves a lot of room for error. All right. So the other thing is that if they were to run the sales through the website, then your website also collects data on your audience. Remember, your Google Analytics tools, your Bing tools, all of your tools that you have connected in the back end is going to collect data on your audience. Now you can have an idea as to age, gender, audience demographics. Where are these people coming from that are visiting your platform, right? You're also going to be able to If you have your pixels set up, so if you have your Google Pixel, your Facebook Pixel, your Twitter Pixel, whatever pixels you're using, right? The big one is being Facebook Pixel. Then your pixels can do its job and tag every single site visitor. That way, when you want to do retargeting marketing, so basically if you go on Facebook and you're creating an audience, you could say, hey, Facebook, look at every single person who has visited the website within the last 30 days, 40 days, 100 days, whatever, right? You set the duration time and turn that into an audience. So everybody who has visited the website for the merch, you can turn that into an audience, and then you can run ads against that audience to further promote the event. Because maybe people landed on the website, but something happened and it did not check out. That's what we call abandoned cart. When people, they might have added to the cart, but they don't actually go through the entire purchase because something happens. Maybe when they were looking to make the purchase, they got called into a meeting because they were doing it, you know, while they were at their desk and, you know, they were doing nothing important. Things come up. So when you allow your pixels to collect or to tag the site visitors, and now you can retarget them on Facebook, on Twitter, on Google to ensure that you're, one, marketing the event, because even if you're not targeting the people who have abandoned the cart, you can still target the people who have visited the website. You can also then create a lookalike audience. So you can take all of the data that it's collected for your pixel pools of the people who visited your site. You can then create a lookalike audience on Facebook, and you can tell Facebook, hey, look at all the characteristics of the people who visited our website, and I want you to create a lookalike audience of people who have not... It's people who have not visited the website but share the similar characteristics of the people that did. And then you can run an ad against that audience and target new people to bring them into the event or to market the merch. So there's all of these things that happen when you are running or driving traffic from social media back to your website. If you are just telling people to email you, you don't collect none of that data. Not for your CRM, you don't collect no, you know, demographic data, you don't build your pixel pool to retarget, and then you've created an entirely manual process for yourself, right? So they could have added in, you know, variables like if they ran it through their website, because remember too, right, they said that you could either pick up on the event at the merch booth, or you could pick up on the Wednesday, right? So now when people are checking out, the people can specify, I want to pick up at the event, or I want to pick up on the Wednesday. All right? You can specify, you can have them specify when they're looking to pick it up. Now, because they're saying that they were using this to promote the event, that's why they're not doing delivery. To me, that's a missed opportunity. Because you could still promote the event, and people who don't want to go to the event could still purchase the merch. There's no difference, because now we have all of these courier companies, whether it be TT Post, whether it be, you know, a company like O-Deliver or Sped, whoever. There's so many courier companies, CSF, so many courier companies that have a digital platform where you go onto their website, you fill out the pickup request, they send the driver, they collect the order, and then the delivery is tracked. They give a tracking number to the customers, or an email or a text to the customers. Hey, you have an order that's going to be on the way to you. And then they can track the orders, and the orders can go to the people who might not necessarily want to come to the event but still want the merch. That also generates more revenue off of the merch. Like I said, the stuff is fire. There is a lot of people who I'm reading the comments and they're like, yo, I want the stuff, but I don't want to go to the event. But I still want the merch, right? I'm seeing people saying, yo, how am I supposed to wait till February 15th for international orders? Well, I don't like this is another comment. I don't like that this is Trinidad and Tobago only. Somebody asked, you know, why can't we get it in Tobago? Right? People are asking basic questions. Right? So, like somebody asked, do you have a location after the concert? People want the stuff, right? So there should have just been, as much as they want to promote the merch for the event or tie it into the event, they could have easily allowed for delivery. Even if it was TT only, they could have allowed for delivery and, you know, use any one of the courier companies. People already are accustomed to paying for delivery fees. So you'd pay for the shirt, you pay the additional $30, $40, whatever the cost is for delivery, and then they have the shirt. We're trying to support you. Plus, the merch is fire, right? So that could be done when you run the stuff through your website. Now, let's say if you want to do print on demand, but you want to sell to the global market, right? Let's just say you have merch, you're creating designs, and you want to sell to an international market, but you don't want to go to the hassle of printing your own stuff, packaging it, and shipping it across the world, right? Well, this is where we get involved with the global print on demand websites and businesses, right? So in that video, I also showed the example of Teespring, right? Teespring is a shop that I've been using for years now in creating merch. And what it does is you create your own store, you create your own designs, and they have like close to like 100 products. So it's like shirts, hoodies, long sleeve, mugs, beanies, trucker hats, snapbacks, dad caps, bucket hats, jigsaw puzzles, like Apple Watch bands, shorts, cases for your phones, desk mats, notebooks. They have tons and tons of options, of merchandise options. So once you create your designs, you then select the types of merch you want to sell. And they would then give you the cost, the raw cost of producing that merch and delivery, right? Well, delivery gets passed on to the customers, right? So depending on where the customers are, the delivery gets added on at checkout. But that's none of your concern. The merch, they give you the prices for all of the merch, and then you get to say what you want to charge. That way you make up you. So if the product is $15 and you say, okay, I'm going to charge $30, your margin is 50%, and then you would pocket the $15. So once you create your shop, you create all of your products, put all your designs out there, then all you got to do is market your shop. And then when anybody anywhere in the world comes to the shop, purchases the product, within 3 to 5 days, your print on demand partner, and I'll list out a couple of them, they get the order, they produce the order, and they ship out the merchandise anywhere in the world. And all you focus on is marketing your shop. Now, a platform like Teespring allows you to receive funds via PayPal, or you could sign up for Payoneer. And as you know, Payoneer is a virtual bank account. So once the money comes in, you would be inputting your local bank information, any bank. You input your local bank information, and then they would wire transfer the money over to your bank account. So you could use PayPal, right? Remember, not everyone in the Caribbean has access to PayPal. But for those that do, I've done a lot of videos and blogs and stuff about how to receive the PayPal funds, but everybody in the Caribbean can use Payoneer, right? And once you sign up for Payoneer, Payoneer does allow you to get the option of a Payoneer card. Once you have generated over $100, you can apply for the Payoneer MasterCard, and then the funds would instantly be transferred to your Payoneer MasterCard, and then you could use it anywhere where MasterCard is accepted. Or you could input your local bank information, and once you receive money, then Payoneer would then wire transfer the money into your local bank account. And then if you have a U.S. account, you can keep the funds in U.S. currency, or if you have a TT account or a JMD account or whatever currency you're using, whatever Payoneer will send the money, and then your bank will just convert the funds to whatever denomination your bank currency is in. All right? So some great print-on-demand shops is Teespring, Printful, Spod, Printify, T-Launch, Custom Cat, Lulu Express, T-Pop, Jet Print, and AOP Easy Print On Demand. Those are some of the top print on demand. Those are some of the top print on demand websites right now, right? And again, they just do some amazing. They just do some amazing things. And what is also lovely is you would get, you know, printing options, like what type of printing techniques and customizations, you know, do you want, right? So an example, Printful. Printful will ask you, do you want direct to garment? Do you want embroidery? Do you want cut and sew? Do you want sublimation? Do you want to add tearaway tags to your products? Do you want to add inserts? Do you want to add stickers to your packaging? Now, those things have an additional cost, but you get to customize the entire branded experience, right? You get to use the mock-up generator, so that allows you to sell in absolute minutes, right? You can then order sample orders, and the sample orders, they give you a 20% discount on the sample orders so you can test out the quality and whatnot. But these print-on-demand services have made the process for creatives and brands so easy to build out their merch. And this is why, for me, I don't understand why all of our Soca artists, you know, aren't leveraging the power of print on demand. You don't even have to be a Soca artist, but once you are a brand, once you're building a brand and you want to add merch, all you need to worry about is designing the merch. Go get your designs done. Go and find a logistics partner, like any one of the platforms that I named. Create your shop, add your designs, customize your designs, and customize your shop. And then once you set your prices and you're ready to sell, once people buy, they handle everything. They handle the payment processing, they handle the creation of the product, and they handle the logistics to get your product out anywhere across the world. So you should be adding merch. I believe everybody should be adding, anybody building their brand should be adding some form of merch to their brand. That way they can add an additional revenue stream for their brand. And again, all of these platforms have made it easy. I only wish we had a local print-on-demand platform. Like a local business, if they did this, you know, this would be great for, you know, doing it within country. But unfortunately, I don't know anybody that does print on demand to the level that the rest of these companies are doing it at. So, you know, I would advise, you know, create your shop. They handle shipping all over the world. If somebody wanted to order from your website and they were here locally in Trinidad, then again, the stuff would still come in. The person would just select, you know, do they want to have it delivered directly to Trinidad or do they want to have the stuff delivered to their skybox? Right? But the point is that the merch can get to us. So create your shop. Check out Teespring, Printful, Spod, Printify, T-Launch, Custom Cat, Lulu Express, T-Pop, Jet Print, AOP, Easy Print on Demand. I currently use Teespring. I'm going to be checking out Printful because Printful is and again, other platforms do this, but I've done my homework on Printful. The reason I'm going to be switching over to Printful is because I can connect my WordPress shop with WooCommerce. I can connect it directly to Printful. So people could just come to my website, order the merch, and then Printful would automatically get the orders and then handle everything and then handle delivery rather than creating an entirely separate shop. So if you are somebody that doesn't have a website, then remember, these platforms are hosting your shop. You're creating the shop on their platform, and then you're going to get a link to your shop, which you can then put into your social media platform. So if you're using a LinkedIn or TikTok, you know, you're going to be using something like a Linktree or any one of those, you know, link expanders, because we know that Instagram and TikTok only give you that one link in bio. So if you're using a Linktree or any one of the alternatives that give you more than one link, you take the link from your Teespring shop, put it into your Linktree, And that way, when anybody, you know, goes to your link in bio, when they see your merch and your content, they can go to your link in bio, make the order. And then again, you don't have to worry about nothing. The only thing you got to do is worry about just marketing your merch. And then the logistics, the payments, everything gets handled by the payment platform, by the printing on demand platform. And then if you have PayPal or using Payoneer, your funds will hit your bank accounts. However, the PayPal gives it to you, and whatever you set up with PayPal and whatever you set up with Payoneer. And if you want the funds in US, once you have a local US account, you can keep the funds in US. Otherwise, whatever the currency is of your bank account, once your bank receives that money from PayPal or Payoneer, it would just automatically convert. All right. That is print on demand, folks. You know, it's just an amazing thing to help build and strengthen your brand. You know, and help to build a community around your brand and earn additional revenue. So, you know, again, support Nadia Batson. The merch is absolutely fire. The designer did an amazing job. Yo, design number 7, design number 5, those are my two favorites. And yeah, like, again, if they were doing delivery, great. But I don't intend on going to Fetz this year. So, you know, I wouldn't be able to go and collect it. But it's all good. I'm still pushing, you know, go check it out. But also, when you are doing your when you are thinking about your brand and your business, think about the customer first. Think about the customer experience that you want people to have. You want people to leave your brand feeling like, yo, this was easy. There was no headache. This was a great experience. You don't want to put too many roadblocks, because then people get frustrated. It leaves more room for error. And what should be a joyous occasion in supporting you, it's bittersweet. It's double-sided. It's like, yo, am I really going to go through all this for your merch? I'm going to be wearing your face. Do I really want to go through emailing back and forth, having to go to an event or go somewhere to go ahead and collect? Do I really want to go through all that? Like, you don't want people leaving with that feeling. You don't want it to have a bitter. You just want it to be nice, seamless, easy. You want to make it a joyous occasion to support you. All right. So that's print on demand, folks. And I really hope that you go check out the platforms that we talked about and you add, you know, merchandise to your thing. There's so many different types of merch you can create beyond just the typical t-shirts or, you know, my favorite hoodies. So that's episode number 118, folks. I really hope you enjoyed. And if you did, please feel free to rate the podcast on platforms like Apple Podcasts and Spotify. If you really enjoyed the podcast, please drop a review. The reviews help grow the Digipreneur FM podcast family all over the world. I read the reviews. They help me continue to produce the type of content that you like. All right. If you're not following me over on social media, what are you doing? Go over to your favorite social media platform, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, whatever platform you like. Go and follow me over on that platform at KERONROSC, Keron Rose, on all social media platforms. Check out the KeronRose.com website to learn more about building your digital presence and monetizing your platforms. And last but not least, check out the Digipreneur.fm website to stay up to date on all things podcast related. All right. That is it from me today, folks. Happy Tuesday. I will see you guys later in the week with another hot episode from the Digipreneur FM podcast. Digiboss out. Take care.
You've been listening to the Digiboss, Keron Rose. We hope your notepad was filled after this episode. Make sure to like, rate, and review the show. The learning doesn't stop, folks. And to make sure you don't miss any gems from the Digiboss, go over and follow him on all social media platforms at Keron Rose. Folks, don't just sit there with a notepad. We need you to implement at least one thing into your business before the next episode. That's the only way your business levels up. Thanks for listening to Digipreneur FM. Now go be great.